Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Tim Arrington. I'm privileged to serve as one of the pastors here at Christ Community Church. On behalf of Barbara and the family, I just want to welcome you and thank you for being here as we celebrate the life of Wayne North Anderson. Let me begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Father in heaven, it is indeed a blessing to be here today in your presence, among friends, families, brothers, and sisters, here to celebrate Wayne Anderson. We thank you for his life. We thank you for his friendship. We just thank you, Lord, that we had the opportunity, the sweet opportunity to know him. And today, we take this time in to pause and give thanks to you for Wayne and for the blessing he was to each of us. Father, this afternoon, as we gather, I especially want to think of the family and ask for your grace, for your peace, and for your comfort to just pour over them, Lord. Would you cover them with your love and mercy? Comfort them, Lord, as only you can in this hour of mourning. But also, Lord, we know that because of Wayne's faith in you, this is also a day of celebration, because we know exactly where Wayne is. He is in your very presence. He took hold of the inheritance made possible through salvation, through Christ Jesus. And because of that, it is a wonderful day. He is in your very presence, Lord, where you have called him to be. And that gives us such great solace and joy. But today, as we meet and gather and share memories of Wayne, we just ask for your blessings in advance of this very special time together. I give you thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you have your service folder today, you'll see the words, the lyrics to How Great Thou Art. Would you stand with me and let's sing that great hymn of faith together today.
Consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art.
Wonderful singing. Please be seated.
Well, you know, I get such a, such a feeling of family in so many ways being here. My name's Patrick McClanahan. And first, with the families, those of you who may not know, the McClanahans and the Andersons and the Bignots, we kind of all have kind of blended together. As a family with just sharing of kids and all that stuff, and such a privilege. I mean, we're so close, I really think that we should have been like one of these Kentucky families in the, you know, in the mountains that just all have been a big family. And also, I have so many memories of this room because I was the youth pastor here in 1977, and this was our worship center, our sanctuary, and, you know, it just... And Tim was in high school dating Kathy, and I'm still jealous of that singing voice, you know. But I mean, it's just I feel old. Tim's got how many grandkids now?
Seven.
We're four behind, but I'm competitive, so our kids are going to start working on that. So, but I want to share, so a privilege, and even looking at the picture of Wayne there on the screen. Wow, what a beautiful man, what a servant, and the family wanted me to share remembrances of him, so I'm basically standing in their stead, and then we'll do that, and then we'll have a time to sing, and then we want to have some of you who have a memory of Wayne, feel free to share that too, we'll have an open mic. And when we do that, because the service is being recorded and the family wants it, so Tim will come and bring a mic to you when you want to stand and share that memory. So let's get started. Wayne North Anderson was born on November 18th, 1956 in Huntington Park, California. And sadly, as we all know, this past October 22nd, 2023, Wayne graduated from this temporal life to his eternal life with Jesus in heaven. Wayne is lovingly remembered by his entire family, including wife of 44 years, Barbara, sister and brother-in-law, Wendy and Gary Funk, his son and daughters-in-law, Michael and Sarah Anderson, his daughters, Robin Anderson and Michelle Vega, along with her husband, Donnie, as well as his deeply cherished grandchildren, Bryn and Noah Anderson. Though his absence has left an immense void in the lives of family and friends, we all derive just great comfort in knowing that God richly blessed all of us. If you knew Wayne, you knew God was on him and blessed us with all this love that's in this room that we've shared for Wayne, and also the believer's assurance of knowing that for us, it's not goodbye, it's see you soon. We're all on a short temporary tour of duty on this planet, and we know where Wayne is, and we'll talk about that later on. As far as Wayne's life story, Wayne spent his childhood in Pomona, California, later moved on to Chino, where he attended Chino High School. Wayne's deep passion for music, especially jazz, was nurtured by his parents from an early age. He displayed exceptional talent on the clarinet and saxophones while actively participating in the marching and the jazz bands at school. Also at that time, Wayne joined a church youth group, and one night they watched the movie, The Cross and the Switchblade. I don't know if, have any of you ever seen that movie? Because it stars Eric Estrada as the kind of the renegade who comes to the Lord, and that movie was played, and afterwards the pastor stood up in that group that Wayne was a teenager at, and he shared the good news of the gospel. We could quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And Wayne, though he had grown up and heard that verse, that night it was like he heard it for the first time. The invitation was given to repent and receive Jesus, and Wayne went forward. And from that decision, Wayne's faith became the most important thing to him, and he dedicated his life to the Lord and serving the Lord and living for him. In 1976, Wayne was selected to lead the Overtone Band for a Youth for Christ international tour through various Asian countries. It was on that tour that Wayne found a special connection with his future wife, Barbara Mosier. Together, they embarked on an unforgettable journey to Japan, South Korea, Hong Kong, and the Philippines. So it culminated in 1976, where they were married, and they went to Pomona, California, and they experienced the joys of raising three children, Michelle, Michael, and Robin. As a family, and we know, those of us who know the family, just see them, I'm sure you do the way that I do, just this beautiful tapestry, sewn by threads of love and unity. And I've got some memories that Michael and Robin and the family and Barbara have shared with me, and so I just wanted to put them together and share them. These are some thoughts that Michael has had. He said, Dad had real engineering skills, kind of like MacGyver. Remember that show? His dad, Wayne, once fixed a $1 million project with a 99-cent part from an auto parts store. He helped me understand how you could fix anything if you really try to understand how things worked. Robin reminisced, Dad loved to just get in the car and drive. Teacups are tire swings. Dad made it a personal challenge to make someone dizzy. He braved back rows not knowing if they'd have enough gas to get on the main road. And then one of my favorites, Dad would really laugh hard if he saw someone stub their toe. So that was probably the extent of Wayne's dark side right there, you know. And I'm crediting these memories to Barbara, but I'm sure that they're shared. We'll say that Barbara said this. Wayne made the world's best caramels, or caramels. Wayne was a world-class marshmallow roaster. And Wayne could turn anything into a musical instrument in turning straws at restaurants to entertain the kids. I love this one. When our kids wanted to share just how they felt, I always told them, talk to Wayne. Now, this is kind of a consensus of all the thoughts. Wayne loved being a grandparent. I'm told that the kids called him Uncle Wee. Wayne was thrilled to be Grandpa Anderson, first with Bryn, the granddaughter who stole his heart, and later with Noah, his tractor buddy. And Barbara would say Wayne would just become like 3 years old when he would play with Noah and his toys. And of course, Wayne loved his cherished Jack Russell companions, Molly and Barry. Now, meanwhile, back at the job, in the early 1900s, in the early, right before the animals boarded the ark. No, by the 1990s, Hughes acquired the missile divisions of General Dynamics, prompting Wayne's relocation to Tucson, Arizona with his family in October of 1993. In their new community, the family actively participated at Christ Community Church, where Wayne reignited his passion for music by joining the orchestra as a bass clarinet player. The rekindling of his musical journey extended further as Wayne joined the Big Band Express, showcasing his talents on the baritone saxophone. Additionally, Wayne received opportunities to perform with renowned acts at local casinos, including The Temptations, The Box Tops, Wayne Newton, Jerry Lewis, and Bob Newhart. Wayne devoted many years working diligently, retiring in 2012 from Raytheon. He then dedicated his expertise as the Director of Research and Development at Composite Mirror Applications, a position that he held until January of 2016. Throughout his retirement, Wayne remained actively involved in various endeavors, including real estate renovation projects, commitments with the orchestra and the big band. And in terms of his Big Band Express buddies, they were always entertained by his quick sense of humor. I'm told Wayne loved to do crazy things by saying things like, I'll give you a buck if you, and then whatever he said, they had to do. And he also loved to answer back comments with your mom jokes. You know, so is your mom. In addition to his sense of humor, Wayne was trustworthy and loving to the core. People from all walks of his life and parts of life felt comfortable sharing their stories and challenges with him. There's something about a calming effect in his presence. I experienced that many times. He's the type of person you just feel better when you're with him and you talk with him. And as for the unexpected culmination the abrupt, culmination of Wayne's earthly life. In talking with Barbara, I found it fascinating to know that both Barbara and Wayne had premonitions about what was going to happen with this surgery. And Barbara felt like the Lord was preparing her, kind of saying, get ready for a change. And true to form, a severe stroke occurred after a surgical procedure to remove a significant aneurysm from his carotid artery. But true to the essence of Wayne's nature, in a beautiful act of giving, Wayne's compassionate spirit prevailed even after his passing. He had signed up to be an organ donor, and he went on to immediately positively impact the life of as many recipients as the potential of helping up to 70 individuals in need. And those people are benefiting from Wayne, and I'm sure he's got to take a sense of satisfaction in knowing that his life lives on, helping others, as is true to him. So as Casey and Linda, I think, prepare to sing, and I've given you this remembrance. Maybe right now you're thinking about a memory or appreciation of your heart that you want to share. And so since the family has asked me to share this, after we sing, it will be your turn to share. So let's sing, and then we'll have some sharing.
When the rain you want is a flood instead, when the roses bloom but they're not quite red, when I reach the edge of my bravery, I'll still be singing at the banks of an unparted sea. Sometimes the only way through it is a hallelujah. Sometimes the only thing to do is just to hand it to you. And although my troubles shake me, I know they could never move you. Sometimes the only way through it is a hallelujah. And that's why I say hallelujah, hallelujah. There's what I want, and there's where I'm at. Every one step forward got me two steps back. And I've cried, I've called, God knows I've prayed. But most days faith is climbing up a mountain that stayed. Sometimes the only way through it is a hallelujah. Sometimes the only thing to do is just to give it to you. And although my troubles shake me, I know they could never move you. Sometimes the only way through it is a hallelujah. And that's why I say hallelujah, hallelujah. It don't always fix your problems, but it'll tell you how small they are. That's the thing about praise. That's the thing about praise. It won't always move those mountains, but it's good for the heart. That's the thing about praise. That's the thing about praise. Oh, you'll never know what it's gonna change, but it'll always leave a mark. That's the thing about praise. That's the thing about praise. Yeah, I might see walls start falling, I might just change my heart. That's the thing about praise. The thing about praise. That's the thing about praise. The thing about praise. Sometimes the only thing to do is just to hand it to you. Sometimes the only way through it is a hallelujah. And although my troubles shake me, I know they can never move ya. Sometimes the only way through it is a hallelujah. And that's why I say hallelujah, hallelujah. And that's why I say hallelujah, hallelujah.
You know, having been one who's now devoid of parents, they've gone on to heaven, Robin and Michelle and Michael, we want to be able to give you the gift of having people outside your family share special memories of Wayne. And, you know, we're recording this, and I know this from the recordings of my own parents. I like listening to those things, but the only way that you'll hear it is if you speak into a mic, and then it'll be recorded. So Tim's going to stand here, and anyone who's got just some special memory, a little thing, a big thing, just something that you appreciated about Wayne, we'll have 10 or minutes or so, and so all you have to do is raise your hand first, and Tim will get the mic to you, and then just stand up and talk into that mic and tell us what you think.
Your name? Yeah. Tell us your name before you start speaking, too. That'll help.
I guess I'll get started. My name's Mark Nelson. I played with Wayne for many years in Big Band Express. I sat right behind him on bass trombone. He never had a crossword for anybody in any of the rehearsals, the performances. He always came prepared. And in addition to his beloved Black Beauty bass, Barry saxophone, he brought along a bass clarinet, a flute, a soprano clarinet, whatever he needed to play at the particular gig, and was always marvelous on it. The Black Beauty story is probably very familiar to the family, maybe not to all of you. It evidently got stolen once, and they had to supply insurance claims. He bought an exact replica, and many months later, it was found on the top of Mount Lemmon. And it was still in the case. The case was kind of beat up. Then he had two Barry Saxes and an insurance claim to return. But he loved that Barry Sax, and we all loved his playing. And that's my fondest memory of Wayne.
Amen. Amen.
Can I see again? I'm Linda. On the big band gigs, he sat right here. And we'd sit here, and he would say, you know, some gigs you didn't get fed. And he'd say, Linda, you distract that waiter. I'm going to grab a roll off that tray.
Hello, I'm Austin, and I have a memory to share. So one time I was visiting him, and we were playing this video game. I forgot, the name. It had to, do with, fighting tanks as a team, as a tank, too. And I just, had a really fun time with him.
My name is Bryn.
My name is Megan. With my Uncle Wayne, I just have a lot of memories of just joy. He was always laughing. He always played with us so much. He was so fun. My own dad wasn't really in my life in that same way, and I just loved playing with him. And even when we were older, he was constantly just joy oozed out of him. And it wasn't even always, in those playful ways. It was even just his humor and things that we would tease each other about. I particularly remember when man buns were all the rage and how much he hated them. And so I would always tease him about man buns. So.
Thank you.
My name is Ellen, and my husband Larry, Wayne was my brother-in-law. And now that Megan's got us all crying, I thought I'd share something. You can't see it, but you'll be able to hear it. This is the way we celebrated my mom's 90th birthday, and Wayne was the instigator. They have helium balloons.
I'm sorry.
My name's Jessica, and I moved out here about 7 years ago. And at 35, I didn't know that I needed a family. But Wayne and Barbara very much became that family for me. And I'm so grateful. Sorry.
Get my steps in today.
Hey, I'm Josh. Did a lot of growing up with the family, and a few men poured into my life when I was younger, Wayne definitely being one of them. And I remember when I was young that you guys had that pool, and he was so strong. He felt so strong, and he had me convinced there's this little muscle in your hand right here, and his was so hard, like a little rock. It was, and I thought that was strength, and he'd shake my hand, and he'd squeeze it, and I remember that about freaking Wayne. And I heard a joke, and I thought he would appreciate it. One for him. What has five toes and isn't your foot? My foot.
That's good.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to go back here, and then I'll come up.
Making the rounds. We're making rounds for Wayne. Hey, I love Wayne. I apologize, I haven't been able to see him for many years, just because kind of life puts you in a different direction, but who knows a man with the demeanor that Wayne Anderson had. Mm-hmm. There's nobody like Wayne. I had the opportunity to have some lunches with Wayne when he was working on the south side. He was at Raytheon. We'd meet at the Slotsky's. He loved Slotsky's. A lot of lunches there, but you know, I've never had an opportunity to meet a musician like Wayne and his special talents that he had. And I'll just always remember that. But even more of a privilege, it's been to know the Anderson family and his children and his wife. And Wayne's special. Love Wayne, and I love the Andersons as well.
Amen.
We appreciate Wayne and your whole family so much. He served in our church, Fellowship Bible Church, and just had such grace and respect for anyone who was willing to volunteer and serve, and just years of training people and just coming alongside of him and showing the love and the mercy and grace of God. And these guys, his kids, are so precious to us. We'll be praying for you so much. You guys went up to Hopi with us for about 15 years. We were blessed to go up to the Hopi Reservation. We started in a time when they were not welcoming anyone except their own people, a lot of the things they'd suffered. And we made friends, and we went. They let us stay in their community center. And those conditions were austere, to say the least. You were usually going to be sleeping on a floor at some point. And Michael had to be there 12 years as a leader. Those little kids just loved him. We'd go up there and you wouldn't see anybody, and then those children would be pouring off the mesas, and Bob would tell me, yeah, we're going to cook for two villages, and I'm going, and how many people is that? But we made lifetime friends, and I was so impressed with Wayne, even seeing all the wonderful things he did for his great love of family, his mom and dad, and his own family. And that he would just join with his kids and come up on this extremely challenging mission trip was just all about who he was. And I knew he was looking at all their flutes, too. Mm-hmm. He could have picked up any of them and played them. Didn't he have a crystal flute? Yes. It's just a blessing to know him and you guys. We will always be praying.
I'm Tim Spencer. Like Wayne, I'm an engineer. And, so we kind of connect. Okay. We kind of connected on a lot of things that engineers connect on. You guys that are engineers know what I'm talking about, and the women that are married to those engineers also know what I'm talking about. But I remember the almost two-decade process of resurrecting the house, the foundation.
Oh, my goodness.
the man did work that I can't imagine one person doing, you know, without hiring professionals. But it was usually because the professionals messed up and he didn't mess up. And I remember his interest in the railroads, the Garden Railroad, and any boy or man tends to gravitate towards those kinds of things. We had a lot of talks about that interest. I remember one of the things he showed me more recently was a new composite material, and he was just curing it in Barbara's oven. And so that says a lot about their relationship right there. Okay, so maybe that's, and the ceramic nose cone coating. That was a really interesting thing to talk about for engineers. But I remember all that stuff, as well as his musicianship and all the other attributes. The Whittle.
Good afternoon, I'm Bob Sager. I first met Wayne a long, long time ago. I can't tell you how many years ago it's been. But when Barb and Wayne first came to Christ Community Church, the orchestra was playing one day, and Wayne came up to the orchestra after the service, and he came to me, and we started talking, and he said that he had gotten his degree in music, and played saxophone primarily, and he had played alto saxophone, and because of problems he'd had with his jaw, he could no longer play. And we talked about that. I said, well, Wayne, I said, maybe you need to try a bigger mouthpiece instrument because you won't have to use the same amount of pressure and so forth. And so he said, well, what do you think? And I said, well, I'd start with the bass clarinet. So he went away, and a week or two later, he showed up, and he had a bass clarinet, and he started playing. We had a great time talking and doing all that, and there was no doubt he was a very talented musician. So a short time after that, I don't know, it had probably been a year or so, maybe a couple of years, we were at a service one day, and there was a fellow in the audience that I had known. He had been a choir director in the school district, in Tucson Unified School District, and then he became a principal. And he was not an especially young man anymore, but he listened. I think Wayne was playing Barry sax that day. And when it was all over, he came up. That former principal came up to talk to us because he was starting a jazz band. He was a drummer. And so he started a jazz band and invited Wayne to come and play. And the band he started was Big Band Express. And so that was Wayne's introduction to music in Tucson outside of the church. Wow. And later, Wayne called me one day and he said he was traveling for work. Said, I'm at such and such a place, and he said, this music store has got these bass clarinets. I said, yeah. He says, well, they're buffets. Well, for you non-musicians, a buffet is the name in clarinets, or it certainly was at that time. And he said, but they've got them priced at, it was like $2,500, I think. And I said, If you can buy that instrument for $2,500, you need to get it. So next thing I know, Wayne arrives and he calls me at home and he said, Bob, he says, I have a bass clarinet. Would you mind looking at it and telling me what you think? And sure enough, it was a brand new Buffet low C bass clarinet, and it was fantastic. And he said, so was it worth the money? I said, worth the money. I said, take it home and work on it because it's the best you can buy. And so that's kind of how Wayne and I got to know one another, and we played in the orchestra for years together, and I can't tell you how much I miss him, because not only because of his terrific playing, but because of his great sense of humor.
Yeah.
Playing in the orchestra with Wayne, you could always count on having a good time. So thank you.
Amen.
My name is David Beatty, and I am the one of the representatives of the California contingent from Wayne's past, Barb's past. If we're sharing memorable stories, then I want to tie into what you said about stubbing toes and laughter. Because truth be told, sometimes Wayne caused the toe to be stubbed and then took great pleasure in the after effects. He had an old panel-sided van that he tinkered with for years and years and years. Took the engine out at one point, and we finally put the engine back in. He got me and another friend of ours, Joel Nichols, the three of us were kind of a terrible trio for a while. He brought us over, and he was going to fire up the engine for the first time since he installed it back into the van. And in those vans, the engine sits right in the middle, so we're all inside the van, and he's trying to get this thing started. He's adjusting the carburetor, and the thing's not firing, and so he sits back, and Joel leans forward to take a try at it. And he's trying to fire up the carburetor, and at that point, all of the gas fumes in the entire van caught fire, and the entire inside of the van blew up. Wayne sat back and laughed. I fell outside of the van, and Joel's eyebrows were gone, as were quite a bit of the hair on the front of his head. Wayne just thought that was the funniest thing in the entire universe. And by the way, any resemblance between me and any goofy photos you may see in a little while are purely coincidental.
Oh, my goodness.
My name's Casey, and our families grew up together. We spent holidays together. We went on vacations together. I remember we went to Rocky Point, and Wayne on the beach is really fun. he was just so fun to be around. He could always make you laugh. We've made that very clear. But at that time, I was in middle school, and my dad wasn't around, and Wayne was around a lot. And all I can say is, I had never seen an example of a man who loved his wife so much and loved his kids and was such a dedicated husband and father, and it left such an impression on me. Like, that was what marriage and fatherhood was supposed to look like, and he gave me that example, and I'll never forget that.
Amen. Well, perhaps we can... You know, I want to thank you for behalf of the family for just sharing that. I know that from listening to my own parents' service. You just want to hold on to those memories, and you've given them a great gift. These are words of comfort that we want to share from the scripture now about, you know, certainties of what Wayne is experiencing right now. The Apostle Paul in his earthly life of it, right before he was taken and executed, 2 Timothy 4, he says, I've fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the race. And no sooner was the ink dry than he was led to his abrupt departure from earth to heaven. And though our dear friend Wayne Anderson's departure was abrupt, I was there with the family, you know, for that final moment. And... But you know what? The angels were ready, and they received Wayne. And in Wayne's last few days, he had this incapacity in these days to speak. I think it was new territory for someone as conversational as Wayne. But I believe Paul's exhortation in 2 Timothy 4 resounded throughout the hospital room that morning on Sunday as family and myself were with Wayne, and as Wayne's spirit exited his earthly tent and ascended, I know I certainly heard it in my spirit. Wayne fought the good fight. Wayne kept the faith. Wayne finished the race. And, you know, though the abrupt endings, I really think from my experience now as a pastor for the past 40 years, we're never ready for this. No matter if you go in your sleep or it's very traumatic, we're just never ready. We think that we're going to be here forever, but we're not. And for Wayne, as Paul says, in the twinkling of an eye, as soon as Wayne left that room at the hospital at St. Joe's, he was overwhelmed in the awe, the absolute sense of awe that the Apostle Paul experienced as well immediately after he penned those words and was taken off to die. Paul says it this way, "Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." So let's talk about Wayne Anderson North and what he began experiencing that moment he left at his new address now, 777 Pearly Gates. On Saturday, October 23rd, 2023, I believe at approximately 10:15 a.m., Wayne was welcomed into the Victor Circle, greeted by the saints and the angels, brought from one life into the next. You see, death is not a hole, it's a doorway. It's not an end to life, but it's a passing to a new life, of which Dwight L. Moody once remarked, "Someday you will read the papers that D.L. Moody of East Northfield is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. I shall have gone up higher. That is all out of this old clay tenement into a house that is immortal. A body that death cannot touch, that sin cannot taint, a body fashioned like unto his glorious body." Which is why the Apostle Paul himself writes with such confidence in 1 Corinthians 15, "The trumpet will sound." Isn't it interesting that there's a trumpet that's going to sound? The last trumpet, some versions of the Bible say. I looked that word up because of Wayne's love for music. It's the word salpinx. In the Greek, it's transliterated as a reverberation, which says to me, maybe it wasn't a trumpet. Maybe it's a saxophone. "The dead will be raised imperishable. Then the saying is written that will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" Now, this is the promise of resurrection. Death will not win. Death will die. Death will be reversed. So will sickness and disease. And the Bible declares that the second Wayne passed from his first physical body, he came into another physical body. Only without the bad stuff. And he couldn't, I don't know how long it was, Barbara, that Wayne couldn't speak, but he spoke. Not only did he speak, I think he sang glorious words like, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace." He's there live. Not on a recording, but he's experiencing it. And the Bible is clear, in heaven, we will be experiencing a totally resurrected, restored physical body. Now, something else is true as well. We'll also be living in a physical dwelling. Now, Jesus kind of infers it in Luke 16 when he proclaims to us, "Use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it's gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings." And then he goes on in John 14 to say, "I go to prepare a dwelling for you," and talking to the disciples. You know, we get a little confused because the King James Version refers to it as a mansion, but when you actually look it up, it's not a mansion. It's just like more like an apartment, a real physical dwelling. I love what that great theologian George Jefferson sang, right? "Moving on up to the east side, to that deluxe apartment in the sky." Yet some people don't believe that we'll have actual homes in heaven, or that we will be neighbors with friends and families, which is why I always say, if you have any unfinished business with a loved one, take care of it now, because you're going to be stuck with them if you know Jesus for eternity. So it's better to settle those things now. And I know this from experiencing these misconceptions of heaven because I grew up and chose to be an atheist. And I remember forming my theology of heaven from cartoons where you'd see Sylvester the cat and Tweety Bird's on a cloud and playing a harp and they're singing hymns from a pipe organ 24/7. I thought, my God, what a boring place. Why would I want to go there? But the Bible says that's not true. Heaven is not an incorporeal mosh pit in the sky where we sing forever and do nothing. No, it's a real place, real homes, real neighbors, real jobs, real food too. Isaiah 25, it says that the Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet at the marriage supper of the Lamb with aged wine, choice pieces of marrow and steak. Speaking of dessert, what about Wayne's famous caramel that people raved over? Now, Wayne, no offense intended, but as good as Wayne's caramel was in heaven, the ingredients will be perfect and pure. So we'll eat and drink at tables with fellow believers, caramel delights that will literally make your taste buds shout. And at the table, with the Holy Spirit taking orders and the Father cooking and Jesus serving us. Yet, most of us, or many of us, don't actually envision there'll be actual food to eat in heaven. Now, the examples could go on and on when it comes to our eternal state and the ambiguity or even the overt denial that we have about it. And we simply miss, if you open the Bible and read it, what the scripture actually declares about heaven. And one more thing that the Bible declares that Wayne is experiencing right now in heaven. He's reunited with believing friends and family. Wayne has now greeted his heroes of the faith, the patriarchs, the prophets. Maybe he's come up to David and said, hey, you play me in guitar. Could I join you on the sax, you know? But he's there. He's with them. And most of all, Wayne North Anderson has received his embrace and reward from Jesus himself. A physical Jesus in a physical body so close to Wayne that Wayne can see the grainy features of his face, feel his hot, warm breath and the warm touch of his arms embracing him. Wayne told Barbara, she told me at some time he was thinking, wasn't thinking about this day, but he was musing about his funeral. And he said, you know, I don't really think many people are going to come to my funeral. And Barbara said, Wayne, are you kidding? All the people you've served, all the people you've loved, you don't think there's going to be a number of people? And I can tell you right now, Wayne's got a front row seat. He's looking and he's counting. Everyone who's here. And the things you said about him, I'm glad you said good things about him. I've said this before, I didn't have the chance to ask Wayne, but I'm going to be slightly presumptive to try to tell you what I think he would say if he could talk to everyone in this room. First would be this. Tell them it's okay to be sad, but don't overcry for me. I'm in a better place. This poem the family found, I think, describes it so well. My life's been full, I've savored much. Good friends, good times. My loved one's touch. If my time seemed all too brief, don't lengthen it now with undue grief. Lift up your heart. Rejoice with me. God wanted me now. He set me free. Second, this would be a message to the living from Wayne, using me as a kind of a frail muse. Nonetheless, I'm available. Wayne would say to you from heaven, I want to see you. I want to be reunited with you. So if there are friends here who have yet to decide your destiny, here are words from the Bible. Hebrews 9:27, it says, inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, after this comes judgment. Now, Wayne was an engineer, so he knew this, that life is not circular. If you've been watching Lion King theology, that's what you're taught, right? And the circle of life goes. No, it's not. It's linear. There's a beginning. There's an end. No matter what the circumstance, life is abrupt. And at that point in time, when you don't know when you're going to go, guess what? That's when you go. There are only two places for your, we'll call it, your shortcomings, your sins, your shortcomings, or I like to say your misplayed notes in the key of life. We've all got them. We've all played those bad notes. Wayne was no different. And so the reality is, where are my sins when I die and I go up? Initially, for that meeting, your sins are either in Christ and covered, or they're still on you. If you're in Christ, the judgment passes. Your sins are forgiven. You're covered. By grace, you're saved. You've invited Jesus Christ to give you what you needed the most, your forgiveness of your sins. You know, don't believe what they say on TV, please. Health, wealth, and prosperity are yours to have now. That's not it at all. No, there's a judgment. And if you're in Christ, he didn't come to the world to judge the world, but to save the world. But if you're yet to come to Christ, there is a need in your spirit to get out from under the sting of death. Augustine said there was a restlessness in the heart of every man that could only be restored or brought about by Christ. The Bible calls it the second death. And God wants you to know that in Christ, he's taken care of that sting of death. He's taken care of that need. But guess what? For you to become a candidate and a beneficiary of that, you've got to receive it. How was your Christmas? Did you receive a gift? What about if you just sat and looked at that tree and you said, that gift is wonderful. I think I'll open it someday. No, if you open it, you receive the blessing. So that's why Jesus says, to anyone who believes in me, I gave the right to become children of God, to be passed out from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. It's not about our works. It's about his grace displayed for you and for me. And even if I can figure it out as an atheist, surely you can too. This is a better deal. We're made for a person and a place. Jesus is that person. Heaven is the place. There are reference points. You can't separate them. You can't get heaven without getting Jesus. You can't get Jesus without getting heaven. And if you hesitate too long, you know, last year on November 20th, the day after I rode in the Tour de Tucson, I had a stroke. Several of you were watching me preach. I fell off the stage, had a stroke. They rushed me to St. Joseph's Hospital. They said, you've got a blood clot in your brain. I'm glad I had something in my brain. But they took a fish hook and they pulled out that blood clot. And miraculously for me, when they did the MRI, I had no damage. And I recognized what a blessing that was for me. Wayne, in some sense, wasn't so fortunate because he had something very similar. But I know that God knows that I'm not fully baked yet. And Wayne was. He was ready to go. But for both Wayne and myself, had I gone, I would know that my sins are no longer on me because I surrendered my life to Christ. I said, I don't have what it takes, but you do. There's only two religions on the planet, the religion of human achievement or the religion of divine enablement. And if you want to go on that first road, you've got to be perfect in word, thought, and deed to go to heaven. Because if you go to heaven without that being done, heaven's no longer a perfect place because you're there. But through Christ and that blood shed on the cross for you, you're cleansed. It's just as if you've never sinned. You get a new start, a new life, a new relationship. So the first time Jesus came, he came as our brother, as our friend, as our Savior. The second time he comes as warrior king. And he will rescue and rule over those who know him and who've obeyed him. So let's pray together. I always feel so a compulsion to say this at memorial service, and I've had five friends in the last 5 months I've presided at memorial services for, since August. So at my age, I'm very familiar with the fact that what the Bible says is true. So could you bow your hearts with me and pray? And I just want you to listen to God. And I'll ask you some questions, and I'm not going to embarrass anyone, but I want you to be able to come face to face with a clear assessment of what your need is and what God has done for you. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And the one who wishes received the water of life as a gift. Have you ever done that? if you were to depart from the earth and go to heaven, and the angels came and asked you, why should you be here? What would you say? If you have anything other than, I was not worthy, I fell short, but I realized that in this life, and I trusted my eternal life to Jesus. I asked him to come into my life, to forgive me, and to make me a new person. If you haven't done that, your sins are still on you. The only thing that can remove that is the blood of Jesus applied to you. I had 5,000 questions about Christianity before I came to Christ, and when I did, I ended up with 20,000 questions. But I had faith as a mustard seed. I've since learned in the next 40 years that little simple prayer I had by faith through grace, it took. So if that's you, just pray this prayer in your heart as I pray it. Lord Jesus, I thank you for Wayne, that he was a sermon in shoes. I know there was something different in him, and I want that too. I need that. Lord, I've played bad notes, and today I'm telling you that I'm genuinely sorry for the fact that I fall so far short of your goodness. But Lord, you say in your word that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so, Lord, I believe that I need the blood of Jesus applied to my life, and I need my sins forgiven. So I ask you to forgive me of all my shortcomings on the basis of your substitutionary sacrifice on my behalf. And I ask you, Lord, to now enter my life. Cause me to have a walking, talking relationship with you. Reveal yourself to me so that I might know you and walk with you, and someday thank my brother Wayne for showing me the path. Lord, we pray for the family, friends of the family, dear loved ones. Lord, we know there's a certain grieving that takes place. I have not gotten used to the fact that picture of Wayne it's not here, but there's a better picture. So help them to take comfort in that reality and to know that it's not goodbye, but it's see you soon. And Lord, we promise to give you the glory for what you've done in Wayne's life and what you promised to do in ours who believe. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Salt peanuts. Thank you.
Wasn't that the coolest memorial music you've ever heard, this side of heaven, I tell you? Fantastic. Let's pray together. Lord, what a way to know not only has Wayne brought you glory on the earth, but he's up there now playing. Lord, I hope Boots Randolph is up there too, playing that yakety sax with him. We miss him, Lord. We treasure our memories of every experience that we've had the privilege of sharing and knowing him. And we thank you that he knows you. And Lord, we look forward to that day when we're reunited. So comfort us in our grief and assure us of your eternal presence. Heaven is real. Wayne is there. He's with the Lord. And we take great comfort in that. In Christ's name, amen. We welcome you to the Family Life Center. We've got a reception and just time for you to have fellowship, share more memories. God bless you as you go. You're dismissed.